Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures, telling stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character for over 50 years. Details at texancultures.utsa.edu.
Welcome to Fronteras, a program about issues along the U.S.-Mexico border and changing demographics in the Southwest. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Communities of color are among those most severely impacted by COVID-19. Statistics released by APM Research Lab show Black and Latino communities are the hardest hit. Latinos in Texas make up 25% of COVID-19-related deaths in the state. The biggest disparity is reported in New York, where Latinos make up 19% of the population, but 26% of all deaths. COVID-19 is not just a public health emergency, it's an economic emergency. A Somos poll shows nearly two-thirds of Latinos have either lost their jobs or face economic hardship. 70% of Latino-owned businesses who completed applications for the Paycheck Protection Program never received any funding. Today on Fronteras, we bring together three voices to address the discrepancies in the Latino community brought to light by the COVID-19 pandemic. Orson Aguilar is a principal with Unidos U.S., one of the largest Latino advocacy organizations in the U.S. He joins us by phone from Washington, D.C. Ramiro Cavazos is president and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the largest Hispanic business organization in the U.S. He joins us from San Antonio. Domingo Garcia is national president of the League of United Latin American Citizens, the largest and oldest Hispanic organization in the U.S. He joins us from Dallas. Orson Aguilar of Unidos U.S. says there are several reasons the pandemic has so strongly impacted Latinos and other communities of color.
If you look at it from a health perspective, Latinos are, hit first and worst because we lack health insurance, because we work in certain industries where we are exposed to more germs and viruses. And as we're seeing in the data, Latinos and African-Americans are disproportionately getting sick and dying. And so that's very concerning. If you look at the economic front, there's two interesting indicators. One is a lot of Latinos are essential workers. We are on the front lines providing food for our country. In fact, the president just ordered thousands of Latinos to remain working in meat packing plants. And at the same time, many Latinos have been hard hit. Our entrepreneurs have been hard hit. A lot of Latinos work in the service sector, the hospitality sector, sectors that have been hit the worst from this economic crisis related to the coronavirus. And sadly, what we've seen in our analysis of the CARES Act is that it has largely excluded many Latinos, and particularly immigrants, from many of the benefits at the same time that we are, again, dying, getting sick, and also providing essential work to keep the country going.
That's right. And on this program, we interviewed somebody from United Farm Workers talking about farm workers who are undocumented. They're being forced to go into work, and they're not going to be seeing any of these government paychecks either. And you just mentioned the meatpacking workers. And I think there was one plant in Ohio where there were 600 cases. But when I was seeing in those news reports, what struck me, what was being left out of the news reports, I was thinking most of those workers are more than likely migrants. They're more than likely Mexican workers, Mexican-American workers who are trying to make ends meet. And again, just like farm workers, they are being put on the front lines of danger. And Domingo of LULAC, could you tell us a little bit about the statement that you released this week regarding the president's decision to essentially not really call for reforms in these meatpacking plants, but instead try to get them to stay in business?
We received our first complaint about 4 weeks ago at a plant in Greenlee, Colorado. It was a JBS plant, the largest meat processor in the United States and in the world. Our members there contacted us and told us that several people were getting sick at the plant, and they had no masks, no gloves, no any type of PPE protection at the plant. And sure enough, about 2 weeks ago, four workers had died in a week. One was Saul Sanchez, a 78-year-old immigrant from Durango, Mexico, who had worked at the plants for 36 years. And he passed away, leaving a wife and children. And that's just one story out of many that we now got from Iowa, Nebraska, Cactus, Texas. In Dallas, Texas, two Latinos died at a sausage-making plant. And what's happening is we got the president of the United States saying, keep the pork chops rolling. We don't care how many people die. And that's just an immoral decision to be made by this particular president. The fact of the matter is people matter. These workers want to work, but they got to have safe working conditions. And that's what LULAC has been asking for. We filed complaints with OSHA. We filed complaints with the Department of Labor. And still, what they're saying is just keep the meat going and not really protect the workers. And we need to protect the workers because they are many Latino, many of them are immigrants, many of them are undocumented and have no protections.
And so we go now to you, Ramiro Cavazos of the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. These workers who are working the fields in California, in Texas, who are working at these meatpacking plants, they're not going to be seeing any of these government checks. But then again, there are people like some of the small Latino business owners who have been going about everything, quote unquote, the right way, but they're still not seeing any checks. And you and LULAC unveiled some really revealing information about the total lack of attention that Latino business owners are being given by many of the major banks who are distributing this money. Can you tell us a little bit more?
Sure. Well, Norma, I agree with Orson and Domingo, that we are at the front lines and we are the most exposed during this period and have been disproportionately affected, especially on the working side and the lack of healthcare and protection side. Our focus has been about the 4.5 million Latino-owned businesses that are out there, many of them employing other Latinos. They are also on the front lines. Many of them are in the service industry. Many of them are providing healthcare services, and our focus has been to make sure that these Latino businesses, those 4.5 million businesses, survive and get the liquidity that they need through the Paycheck Protection Program. We have seen in working with our friends at LULAC that most of these businesses have been left out of the lending. Only one out of every two Latino-owned businesses to begin with even have a banker relationship. So that's a stress right there to begin with. And then even when they went in to apply for lending, they were at the back of the line because they were not as well prepared as a larger organization or company that, quite frankly, had the ability to take their CPA or lawyer with them and had all their records and were applying for funds that, quite frankly, many of them didn't need. And we've seen many of them have given that money back that they were lent. And so our focus has been, how do we make these 4.5 million Latino-owned businesses speak their mind, go apply for loans? And now we've opened up additional dollars at community banks and community development finance institutions, nonprofits that do minority lending, because initially, unless the SBA certified you, you could not even lend the Paycheck Protection Plan. And so what we did at the U.S. Hispanic Chamber is we listed that they open up the funding to community banks and other lenders, minority lenders, to make sure that that access to non-bank Latino-owned businesses were able to apply. The key thing, though, Norma, is that we should not go in and take no for an answer. We need to be persistent and to be resistant and make sure that we are not humble as entrepreneurs. We need to go in and get our fair share of the PPP funding. And that's what our study showed, is that the banks should be our friend, not someone that we lay blame on. We need to have everybody work together, the SBA, the Treasury, the small business owners, to get their records in so we can get that funding so we can have our businesses survive at this time.
That's Ramiro Cavazos, President and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. We're also speaking with Domingo Garcia, National President of LULAC, and with Orson Aguilar, a principal with Unidos U.S. When we come back, our three guests argue that Latino businesses are not getting their fair share of relief funding, and that's bad news for everyone.
We don't want our businesses to go out of business and to be left behind, because it'll be a catastrophe for the American economy.
That's next on Fronteras. Welcome back to Fronteras. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio. Lots of attention, much of it negative, has been focused on the Paycheck Protection Program. The PPP authorized over $300 billion in loans to small businesses to keep them above water during the COVID-19 crisis. The need was so great, the program ran out of money in less than 2 weeks. Congress replenished it with another $300-plus billion. That money became available just days ago. That money is still not getting to Latino small businesses. A survey conducted by LULAC and the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce found that J.P. Morgan Chase and Bank of America accepted only 12% of Latino applicants. Wells Fargo accepted no applications from those surveyed. To address these issues, we're talking with Orson Aguilar, a principal with Unidos U.S., one of the largest Latino advocacy organizations in the U.S. Ramiro Cavazos, president and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the largest Hispanic business organization in the U.S. And with Domingo Garcia, national president of LULAC, the largest and oldest Hispanic organization in the country. Garcia says any future relief bills must include a significant nod toward Latino small businesses and mom-and-pop shops.
The fact of the matter is, look, Juana's Quinceanera shop, Lupita's Taqueria, they got left out. The money went to big corporations, Fortune 500 companies that did not need it. And many of the banks that we have used in the past basically failed in a survey of about 600 small businesses, Latinos. Bank of America had only 18%. Wells Fargo had zero. Some other ones were very positive, like Frost Bank, which is based here in Texas and San Antonio, had a 68% of Latinos got loans. So we got to look to see who is helping us, who is not. There's going to be another stimulus if this crisis continues. And we want at least $50 billion set aside for minority-owned business, primarily Latino, Latina businesses that work in the community in the barrio.
Hey, Ramiro.
I agree with Domingo that we need to get the money to the businesses that need it. So I really think that Domingo's right, that the money's going to go quick. We were able to get $30 billion for minority depository institutions and community development finance institutions on top of the $310 billion, Norma. But again, it's not enough for the need. Our Latino-owned businesses, many of them are still scrambling to get the PPP funds, or they're having to go to a community bank and develop a new relationship. And then a lot of our small business owners are mom and pop businesses. It's limited dollars for small businesses. But I will say this, the first round showed that 70% of the applicants that were approved applied for $150,000 or less, which shows that the majority of the applicants were small businesses, but they only received 15% of the $350 billion the first go-around, Norma. So that shows there's great need for small, minority, and women-owned businesses which are applying, but they're not getting their share of the dollars. And that's where I think we need to work with both Republicans and Democrats and use the help and influence of our friends at LULAC and Unidos U.S. to speak truth to power, that we don't want our businesses to go out of business and to be left behind, because it'll be a catastrophe for the American economy. We're not asking for anything, no handouts. We just want to be at the table and get the same courtesy and lending that other non-minority firms are receiving.
We'll circle back to you now, Orson Aguilar of Unidos U.S. We're hearing, this is not the most positive conversation to be listening into if you're a small business owner, if you're living with a lot of anxiety because you're not sure if you're going to be able to go back to work. There's so many small businesses, as Ramiro and Domingo were saying, who don't have enough in the bank to keep them afloat, even if they were to maybe get a rescue package somewhere down the line. So many workers who are living with uncertainty, maybe they're at work and they're unclear that, there's any safety precautions in place and they might get sick and die. What can they do?
Yeah, definitely. That's a great question. I think the $30 billion
set aside for minority development institutions and community development finance institutions is a great start. But there has to be a lot more. And, you know, we can expect that there's going to be a lot of activity at the national and the state level to follow up. And we will be successful in targeting more of those dollars to the community. For Unidos US, we have an affiliate of nearly 300 community-based organizations, many of them who are lenders. They have the capacity to lend, and they lend to the people that the banks don't, the smaller mom-and-pop businesses that are, in many ways, the soul of our community. You know, whether you go into the Mission District in San Francisco or San Antonio or, you know, Hyattsville here in Maryland, the soul of these communities are Latino businesses. What we got to make sure is that we can get them up to speed faster, make sure that any debt that might have been incurred or poor credit reporting that might be there, make sure that that doesn't exist so that they can get up and running once we turn the corner here. But the big thing is turning the corner. You know, we have to have robust testing, and we got to make sure everybody has access to healthcare and testing. Right now, a lot of folks are excluded from healthcare and testing. These are the same folks that are, again, feeding us, packing our meat, our poultry, picking our food. And so until we get in front of that, you know, we got to put aside our politics or anti-immigrant sentiments, of course, but we have to do the right thing for everybody. But we're only going to turn this corner when we have inclusion, both on the health side and then on the economic side.
Well, you brought up a really interesting point, the health insurance problem. And so many Latinos don't have health insurance. Texas is the least insured state in the nation. And there are a lot of workers out there who are getting sick. Nobody knows about them because they don't want to go to a doctor or to the emergency room because of a bill that they might have to eventually pay down the road that they're going to be unable to pay. Is there anything, Orson, that Unidos US is advocating to help some of these individuals who are too afraid to step up and say, I'm not feeling well, I can't go to work?
Yeah, we definitely need to really fund our community centers. We want our minority-run health clinics to get funding because those are the folks that are trusted partners in the community, and the more resources they have to testing, that'll make a difference. And there's also a few bills that we are looking at that would do that. We just need to make sure that the language in those bills make it in the next package that comes out of the Senate and Congress, and which is why it's imperative for Republicans and Democrats, again, to really put politics aside and look at what the coronavirus is. You know, the coronavirus does not discriminate by race, ethnicity, or gender. You know, it hits us all, but, you know, definitely hits those that have fewer health insurance, less health insurance, and other things harder.
I mean, you can easily argue that it does discriminate because, I mean, the majority of the deaths are happening in the Latino and African-American community. And I know that's not because it's a genetic thing. It really is because of the issue that we're addressing right now, which is this discrepancy that has been exposed because of the virus.
Exactly.
Yeah, and this, Domingo, the inequities in the healthcare system have been, you know, laid bare by COVID-19. The fact of the matter is, like you mentioned, Texas has the most uninsured population in the country, and Latinos are the biggest percentage. And that's been done intentionally by our governor, our legislature, which did not opt in to have more Medicaid and Obamacare. And those are decisions that are costing the lives of people. And that's where we people need to wake up and get involved. Vote for those people that represent us and represent our communities, and punish those people that don't. And unfortunately, that's happened throughout the South and the West.
Ramiro Cavazos of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, anything to add?
Well, I just want to share that, as you were saying, that maybe this is not the most positive conversation. I'm very optimistic that with Domingo's help and Orson and his team and our work, that we're going to come out of this crisis stronger, because we will, you know, open and lay bare, as Domingo said, some of the issues that have been longstanding. And to survive, this nation will need Latinos, because we're on the front lines. We're, you know, low-tech and high-tech workers. We're scientists. We're political leaders, and we need our fair share of the economic pie. And as we've been on this call, I'm happy to report one of our own members, a Latina-owned business that owns a communications company. Her name is Lisa Bombin. She's a small business owner, fewer than 10 employees, She just let me know that she received her Paycheck Protection Program approval from a small Texas bank who accepted her application without her having been a client. And the name of the bank is Pioneer Bank, but it's a small community bank. And so text that she sent me right now that she's so happy. That's what we need to tell our Latino and Latino businesses, is to keep plugging away and searching. If you get turned down, don't give up and go find a community lender or a minority lender or a small community bank to get the resources that they need to allow their businesses to survive. And so that's just good news, Norma, that came as we're taping this show of a Latino-owned business that was able to get their PPP approved through a community bank.
This is Domingo. I get con ganas todo se puede. If you have the will, you can accomplish anything. And we have a lot of information at LULAC.org for those businesses looking on how to apply.
Domingo Garcia is the national president of LULAC, the largest and oldest Hispanic organization in the country. He joined us from Dallas. We've also been talking with Orson Aguilar, a principal with Unidos US, one of the largest Latino advocacy organizations in the U.S. He joined us by phone from Washington, D.C. And we spoke with Ramiro Cavazos, president and CEO of the U.S. Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, the largest Hispanic business organization in the country. He joined us remotely from San Antonio. Thanks for joining us this week on Fronteras. You can find past episodes on our website, tpr.org, and wherever you get your podcasts. Fronteras is produced by Norma Martinez and Lauren Terrazas. Our executive producer is Dan Katz. Our digital content producer is Brie Kirkham. Our editor is Fernando Ortiz Jr. Ben Henry's our podcast producer. Charanga Cakewalk composed our theme music. I'm Norma Martinez with Texas Public Radio in San Antonio.